Hi, today is July 5th, 2023. This is Mobile News Podcast 464. I'm Tado Gasawara with my not John Westfall. Not the good doctor is out of this podcast. My guest co-host is my good friend, Jared Kuriba. Hey, Jared. Thanks for joining me. We are, by the way, in person. I can like reach out and touch him. He would probably prefer I don't. So we're outdoors. We'll see how the sound quality comes out. We're sitting all the same place that Paul Lawler and I tested these wireless labs. So should work okay. I wanted to mention, these Abjiga things only work with Android well. I commented on that in my Amazon review of the product after I bought it. By the way, these are very inexpensive. They're less than $30. And I said, hey, you know, it just doesn't work with iOS or iPadOS. Works okay with Android. And so I talked to the, or not talk, but the vendor, I won't say manufacturer, I don't know who actually is, a vendor responded and said, hey, can we make it right? You know, we can refund you or whatever. I said, you need to know, it works with Android. I just needed something to record. So, you know, but if you ever get it fixed, let me know. I just got an email from them, says they have an updated version and they're going to send it to me free. Wow. Yeah. So, hey, Abjiga, more power to you guys. Thank you very much. Really appreciate the customer service. And they said, hey, don't send these back. Probably cost them more to process the return, But regardless of their rationale.
Are they in the U.S.?
I don't think so. What's in the U.S.?
I don't. It's probably in China.
So at any rate, I'm just checking the recording on my 7A that we're recording this on. So the reason I asked Jared to this podcast is really, it's almost a single topic. But before we get to that single topic, I just want to mention that ahead of schedule, Meta, owner of Facebook and Instagram and other stuff, released Threads today, a day ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just installed it. And I got to say, I almost was going to call it brilliant. But it's very clever. Because it's based on Instagram, everybody on Instagram that follows me, or I follow, I guess, is getting attached to my Threads account automatically, which is brilliant. You know, that's when I got on, what was the other one that...
WhatsApp?
Mastodon.
Oh, yeah.
When I got on Mastodon, the whole thing with me to get it useful was, hey, you know, who do I follow on here, right? And I have to go look around. And this sort of automatically does it. There are some default Threads. I don't know who these people are. Oh, I see a mongoose scurrying by into the sea. But we also have a pair of ducks. And I took a picture of that. I guess they're part of the podcast.
And they're actually just as close to you as me is.
Yeah. Yeah. They're about 3 feet. 4 feet from me, maybe. Anyway, good strategy, you know, like takes care of the whole question of who do I follow and how do I find them. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the whole reason I asked Jared is the only person I know who's bought like every VR thing.
not everyone.
Okay, every known VR thing. So I wanted to ask him, he doesn't have a Vision Pro from Apple because nobody except Apple folks do, I assume, and some select reviewers, not me. But the question was, you know, well, what do you think as a really serious VR guy? I mean, you're the most serious VR guy. He brought two with him, by the way. and you know, how are you using them? Because, you know, most of us, when we think about it, like if I were to use it, it'd be for like Netflix, you know, pretty much, right? It'd be a nice Netflix screen. And if I were still traveling a lot, I would just buy something that's pretty decent and there I go, you know, I'd be done. But I am not, I'm retired. I'm a retiree budget. And so I'm going to ask somebody who's got more money than me, who's already bought this stuff. How does this all work? So that's where we are right now. Okay. So Jared, so I took a look before we get started on the specifics. I just want to say that Apple Vision Pro is $3,499 plus if you wear glasses like me and Jared and you don't have contacts. I don't know if you do, but I don't have contacts. You got to pay another extra whatever, and I want to ask you about that later. But Jared bought three things. He bought the Meta Quest 2. He bought something called Xreal Air, and he bought something called Rokid Map. And all of them put together is like $1,118, less than one third the price of a Vision Pro. So I could buy all three of the things Jared bought and still not shell out $3,500 for it. Have some change for the prescription like this. So I guess before we get into specifics of it, how are you using? Because you use it for work, right?
Yeah.
For like real productive stuff, not just watching it.
Yeah, because I did not buy them for the VR aspect.
Okay.
So I wasn't looking for something where you would have an immersive experience,
yeah,
where the entire environment taken over by virtualness. I actually wanted them for more of an AR or MR or XR, whatever they're calling it today, because
yeah,
it keeps on changing kind of. But more of a in real world type of experience. And mainly because my vision has gotten so bad that I was using a 27 inch monitor and I would have to kind of pull it kind of close to me.
Oh, really?
And so when you have a laptop open and that, and a keyboard and a mouse, it gets a little cumbersome.
Right.
And so I thought to myself, well, why don't I try to find a device that would replace my external one? And so the first one was that Quest. And the problem with the Quest is that, and it's going to be like the Vision, it's actually kind of heavy. So it's a full headgear kind of device. And I actually bought a different headband that's similar to the Vision, where it wraps around the back of your head.
Mm-hmm. To kind of hold it in place.
Yeah. But at the time that, that Quest 2 came out, it, the pass-through cameras are only black and white, and they weren't very good because they're really used for hand track. And so that's why when I saw the Vision Pro, that's amazing, the quality of that image. And from the reviews that I've read from journalists, they said that the camera pass-through is almost instant. They don't notice a delay between the real world and what this is.
Right.
But what I did instead was I bought these AR-type glasses that use Birch Bath optic, and so I can actually see through them. If so, if the lenses are off, or if I put a black screen up, I see through them just like a regular pair.
So, is Birch Bath optics a branding, or is it a technology?
Yeah, it's a,
or both.
It's a technology, and it's kind of the slang word for them.
Yeah,
and it's because the front of the lens is curved like a Birch Bath.
Ah.
But basically, what it does is it takes an image from a projector above.
Yeah,
and shoots it off the curve, bounces it 90 degrees into your eyes. So when you're looking through the prism, so it's clear to you in front of you. But the projectors aren't actually shooting directly in your face. So like with a Vision Pro or the Quest, they use pancake optics, which is the way that they're converting the image. But the projector is actually right in front of your eyeball. And so it's a lot easier to get more of an immersive experience than you would from something like a Birch.
Okay, so as we get started, and Jared starts to mention each of the three items he's in. So the Meta Quest 2 is $299.99. And you also need prescription lenses for that one.
Yeah, and I have, yeah.
And so how much is it a prescription lens? And did you just use the prescription you already had from your...
I actually sent it off to a company. I think they're based in London.
Yeah.
And they turned it around faster than it was for me to get the Quest from Amazon.
Wow.
Where I sent up both orders at the same time.
Yeah.
And I got the lenses first. Which is amazing.
How much did it cost?
I'm thinking it was under $100.
Oh, that's reasonable.
But they're actually really neat where they're magnetic. So they have like these cups that go over the inside of the Quest.
Right.
And then it just magnetically sticks to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah, it is.
That's pretty cool. And it's not $3,500.
No, it's not.
Okay. Not that I'm saying the Apple's a failure. It's just that I can't afford it. So I'm just kind of... You know.
I don't think... Yeah. I don't think they're trying to hit the mass market. Like we were talking about offline, that they were, in fact, downgrading their expectations.
Right.
Of need.
You know, before I said, John Westphal and I were talking. I am the worst person in the world to talk about pricing, because I was the person when the first iPod came out, I think it was like $400 or $500 for 5 megabytes.
Yeah.
Gigabytes? Wasn't big. And I don't think it was even gigabytes.
I don't think so either.
I remember telling people in no uncertain terms, who is going to pay that much for a music player?
Yeah.
And the answer was a whole lot.
Yeah. Well, I think I can't remember who said this, but I remember there was one of those computer market guys, and they said that anything that you actually want will be between $1,000 and $2,500. Which, actually, if you look at laptop prices, it's right around that range.
Yeah, they're really good stuff.
Right.
Yeah, they're really good stuff. On a similar note, when the iPhone came out, I think it was in the U.S. at least, it was the first unsubsidized mass market phone. I think it was $600.
Yeah.
And this is when I was paying like $200 to subsidize phones. And I said, who is going to pay $600 for a phone from a company that's never made a phone before? And it's only an AT&T. So why would you buy it? And again, lots of people bought. So
yes.
I'm not the right person to make these pontifications about this, but I still do it because I'm me. By the way, there is like a there's like music going on behind me, so we'll see how much of it. These are very short for a mic, so I'm not sure how much of it'll.
Okay.
I don't think very much. And to give Adobe credit, because I pound on them a lot. I've been using Adobe's Podcast Enhance server, which is free. That's a pretty good job.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a pretty good job.
Is that using an AI thing?
I don't know what they're
using. What they might say it uses AI.
Yeah, I mean, you know, why not, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, now that, you know, cryptocurrency and all that kind of stuff is bit chain, blockchains are no longer below.
Yeah.
You know, just call it AI. I should note that I never finished it, but actually was doing PhD in AI stuff in the 80s. And so I found some old articles I had and some op-eds, and they were talking about exact same problems about, you know, the appropriate use of AI. And
when I was in early high school, side note, that's where I met Kawasaki.
Yeah.
Because he actually came by to visit when I was in high school.
Yeah.
But we did a competition in Laie. And the question and the area that I had to focus on was expert system.
AI. AI, right. I should notice, Jared, if I think he's mentioning Guy Kawasaki.
Yeah.
Best known as the guy who maybe didn't coin the term, but made the technology evangelist a buzz thing.
Elon grad, so.
There you go. Both of you guys. All right, so the MetaQuest 2 and... at $299.99, and then the next thing you bought apparently is called the Xreal, X-R-E-A-L Air.
Yeah, it was actually called the Nreal Air.
Oh,
and then they got sued by Unreal Engine, and rather than fighting in court, they just said, "Okay, we'll change our name."
It happened.
Based in China, like we were talking, a lot of stuff is manufactured in China.
What is it?
But these guys have said that they've sold 200,000 units, which is amazing.
Yeah.
The problem that I had with them is that I had to buy prescription lenses for them. And but I bought them before they were released in the US.
Right.
And so I bought them through Amazon Japan.
Yeah.
Oh. And it's because I knew that they would ship stuff, electronics, and Amazon sometimes doesn't like to send you electronics to Hawaii.
Right.
But they didn't care and they sent it right away. And it was just before it was released in America.
So the Xreal Air is $379 and does that one require prescriptions?
Yeah.
You say if you have prescriptions.
Is that one I bought prescriptions for?
Do you have to buy prescriptions for each one, or are they kind of like universal?
Each one is different.
Each one is different.
And each one has a different, it's basically frames. Yeah. So like I showed you with the Nreal that it's attached to the nose piece.
Yeah.
The one that fits for the Real Kid, which we'll talk about soon, is actually wider. So they're all different.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I assume Apple's Zeiss, I think they're using Zeiss.
Yeah, I'm sure it's also somebody else. And but this company in the UK that I had bought the Quest ones from were the same ones I bought, same manufacturer I bought the Nreal. And so it's I think they're ophthalmologists that figured out that there's a market for this stuff. And so they're just hitting all of it.
Oh, yeah. Kind of an interesting vertical. But if you're talking hundreds of thousands of units, and a lot of us wear glasses, good market till somebody figures that one out.
Mm-hmm.
So why did you decide to get the Nreal, the Air, and after you had...
So the Quest was just too heavy. I would rarely use it.
Yeah.
Pass-through cameras are too slow and very low quality. And I just wanted to see, okay, so maybe this bird bath device will work. Let me go and pick one up and see what... And the price point was low enough that I was like, And then when I got them and I put them on, I was like, oh my God, this is game-changing. And I've been trying to show people, but like I did with you, I think you have to physically see what it looks like.
Yeah.
And then you see, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I should know, I'm an old guy. I'm way older than Jared. And the last time I seriously looked at this stuff, and I'm not talking about like the $70, Google cardboard glasses is telling me, was probably a Comdex 98. So it's been like a generation.
Was it?
A people generation.
Was it Epson? Remember they had those like mobile TVs? I think they...
I can't remember, but these helmets are huge. They made you look like a Cylon.
Yeah.
And I remember one of the people I used to talk to a lot back then, gosh, I forgot his name. He was a Boeing fellow. And when I was contracting to Microsoft, I used to see him in Redmond. I don't know what he did at Boeing, but he was on the Redmond Microsoft campus all the time. And we chat because he was really interested in mobile technology. And he was telling me about Boeing was using heads-up displays for their engineers and aircraft mechanics to you know, do overlays in real time as they're looking at the engines and the electronics and stuff. And he said, but I think they could only use them for an hour at a time because they'd have massive headaches after they used them for an hour. So, you know, after that, it's, well, you know, I'll wait till people don't get headaches and feel like upchucking.
And there's a couple of manufacturers that have stuck with more the industrial use. I think Microsoft's HoloLens is kind of targeted more towards that market.
Yeah, yeah.
Or what they see it as being more of an opportunity because the mass market is not going to buy these things.
Right.
Unless you get to a price point like we're just...
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. Thousands of dollars is not...
Yeah.
Again, I'm the person who said nobody's going to win an iPod. So you don't have to listen to anything I say about pricing. I was still annoyed at that. All right. And then you see here, Jared... I'm very grateful that Jared had some very detailed notes so I could actually do some studying before I talk to him so I don't sound too stupid. You said that it has an HDMI adapter. So how does that work? Is HDMI into the plan?
These glasses, both the Android and the WorldKit, use the display port out from a USB-C. And it also uses the power from the USB. So there's no batteries, no processing really on that. So if you wanted to take an HDMI signal, which usually doesn't have a power to it,
right,
you would need to have a power pack or some type of power.
Right. Plug.
And so they do sell an adapter that's the USB-C 3 in with power in with a HDMI out that you can take the USB-C out of that and put it into the... So it's an extra step. And I think a lot of these manufacturers are finding out that these types of devices that are anchored are requiring a litany of different platforms that they have to exist on. Because we were talking earlier, the Pixels don't have DisplayPort out.
On the phone, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the tablet does.
Right.
Yeah.
And so to use this device with a Pixel, you would either have to take a display link, convert it to HDMI,
right,
put the HDMI at the USB-C 3, and then feed that in. It's right. Crazy. And I've seen people do it where it's like literally a packet of stuff.
Right. It'd be easier to buy a tablet.
Right. Exactly. But I think they're trying to hit as wide of a market as possible. So they're trying to figure out ways to.
The rumor is, the ducks are coming back our way, by the way. I guess they're interested in this product more than Aneta. But at any rate, I don't know if it's a rumor or substantiated, but I read that the Pixel 8 is going to have DisplayPort out on USB-C.
Yeah, that's what I saw too.
Yeah.
But I don't trust anything until it's actually...
I didn't see it. I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you. So John and I don't do a lot of rumor stuff in our podcast because we're usually wrong anyway. Right, ducks? They're coming near. I don't know if they have something to say. So the Pixel tablet, which I got, sends a real nice signal out of a USB-C to my monitor. By the way, I bought a really sub-$100 24-inch monitor a couple of weeks ago because it only has one HDMI port, I think, maybe two, but it has a USB-C in.
Nice.
Yeah. And so I don't even need any funky adapters or a switch. You know, I just plug a USB-C to USB-C.
I think that's becoming the standard. I think with Europe forcing Apple to put USB-C, I think it's becoming more and more a thing.
Yeah, so it's really handy. I mean, the iPad, the iPads and USB-C in your 8, and plus the new Pixel tablet I have, I just plug it in. All of a sudden, I've got a 24-inch monitor. A sub-$100 24-inch monitor, which is nice. You know, that's built-in speakers. Not great, you know, what you're going to do, right? I think they're singing the wheels on the bus in case it's picked up by our mic, which is fine. You know, I kind of like the actual ambience. As long as our voices, the signal-to-noise of our voice is loud enough that you can hear it, I kind of like the idea that people know we're in the real world.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anywho.
Which is what the appeal to these were.
Yeah.
That they don't look that crazy. I mean, I don't think they do.
Yeah.
I mean, it sits off a little far off your face.
Yeah.
But I don't think it looks so crazy that people would
stare at you.
Right.
Yeah.
Like it would look like just weird glasses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've seen people have weird glasses. Right. So what the heck? Right? Yeah, they're not gigantic. I was surprised actually how small they are because I guess I've never really seen one.
Under 80 grams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I saw the MetaQuest something at Costco of all places.
Yeah.
But I didn't take a close look at it because I was getting ready to retire and I was like, I shouldn't spend money.
Yeah.
And then I bought a Pixel 70 and another monitor. So that's, you know, I may be starving soon, but that's okay. All right. So that's the Xreal Air. And then the one So this is this the one? Which are, which one are you using mostly for your work? Nextreel Air or
the? So I'm using the Nextreel. I'm using the Rokit.
Okay.
And the reason why is I do have contacts, but I don't always wear them.
Yeah.
And so with these come with diopters, which are kind of like mechanical prescription adjustment.
Okay.
And so cranked down to minimum, I can use my contacts. Cranked up to maximum, I can use it without my glasses. And so for me, it fits every situation where I'm not constantly taking off the lenses if I'm wearing contacts. And it's just more comfortable in general.
But you were, I assume you were using these as your day-to-day before you got the...
Yes. To a point where I got rid of my old 27 inch.
No way.
Yeah. I just gave it away. Gave it to my girlfriend's mom.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. She has a really nice monitor.
Yeah, you need to buy a $700 monitor. I bought it, I'm sure. But anyway. All right. And so the next one, I actually, Jared brought down the Nextreel Air and the Rokit Max. Rokit is spelled R-O-K-I-D, by the way, for me to take a look at. I literally was able to look at the Rokit Max because it has a diopter adjustment built. Is it built in or is it
built in?
Wow. That really makes it worth it.
Yeah.
To me. I mean, it won't through a glass.
But then it's minus 100 from the Nreal because no prescription.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And minus waiting. Anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess they just lowered the price. It was $599, and now it's $439.
But
on the website, I just looked it up today. It's a Rokit Max, and the diopter adjustments are two dials on. I'm holding up like we're filming the video, but the two dials on the top of the glasses that you kind of spin, and it was adjusted for Jared. So he gave it to me. I was kind of fuzzy. I said, "Can I adjust these, Jared?" And he goes, "Yeah, just do up and individually adjust and." All of a sudden, it just popped in as clear as day. It was quite remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
It was really a great experience. Did you have the shades down on for that one? Or
yeah, I put the...
Okay, that just so it wasn't affected by the fact that we're outdoors in the bright sunlight. It's about 3:21 p.m., by the way. So we are in... And it's a very nice day. So the Rokit is $439. It's got these diopter, which to me is a winner if you're wearing glasses. Just one less extra order.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what you use every day. And I took a picture of it. So we'll have a picture of Jared with his glasses on. I think it's what it was.
Well, yeah, every day I plug it into my Chromebook and taking the USB-C out from that.
Yeah.
And basically it's replaced my external monitor.
Wow.
So it's that. I actually keep my laptop closed and I'm using a wireless USB, wireless Bluetooth keyboard and mouse.
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of like everything is disconnected and floating.
And you can see, and you can see through the system, so the pass-through.
So if I need to grab a soda or I usually have my TV on, if I want to watch TV, I can just look up and look through the lenses or I can put them off.
Yeah.
And I can definitely see the cord.
Okay, so there's enough field of vision in the bottom, top and bottom, that you don't have to weird.
Yeah. But I've trained myself just because with the first ones where it was a little more difficult, where to find that T&J bumps.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of us are touch typists, or we claim to be, but you got to look sometimes.
Right.
I mean, I know.
At least my hand seems to shift that doesn't really care where they are.
Right.
So I'd be good to recenter. Yeah.
Right. Anyway, I got to say that despite being a poor retiree, I'm sort of tempted to spend $439.
Because it's bright.
I mean,
it actually is. It's really
bright. Yeah.
And it's 1920 by 1080 resolution.
Which is fine.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's not perfect, but. And actually, those can kick up to 120 megahertz if you play games and stuff.
Yeah, right.
So you end up with less shadowing or less artifact.
I know some people say, oh, it's only 180.
Right.
You know, but you know what? It's not going to scratch your eyes out. You know, I remember when the Retina was announced for the first iPhone and iPads and some of the tech pundits, you know, the ones who get everything brand new versus me, you know, I change every 3 years for an iPad or something. I said, oh, you know, now that I've seen Retina display, I can't look at my non-Retina displays and go, dude, you know, you know, there's nothing wrong with your old display. It's fine. It's just not as nice. But yeah, it's a 180. I mean, 1080p is just...
Oh, and the other thing they do is they both do 3D side by side. And so because it's a projector per eye.
Right.
So it can go to the 36, whatever, wide and give you two images that are stereoscopic.
Wow.
And it actually looks pretty...
And what kind of sourcing material do you need? I mean...
I just looked at some YouTube videos for fun and they look good. And so for gaming, some people have some games that are in 3D.
Yeah.
And seemingly, my younger brother and sister watch a lot of 3D movies at home.
Interesting. So, I didn't know their work. I mean,
yeah,
I remember 3D movies, you know, like there was like Thor was in 3D, and then back in the 50s, Creature from Black Lagoon, and then in between.
Well, but there was that 1 year at NAB, the National Association of Broadcasters,
yeah,
where the conference in Vegas was all about 3D.
Really?
And that faded soon after.
So fast. I know, right?
But remember, there were TVs everywhere.
I remember.
Yeah.
And so, I bought a 3D camera.
Did you?
I have a 3D camera, two lenses, and a Fresnel lens, so that you can see the 3D without any glasses on the camera. And I should note, you know, and I make fun of this, but two of my degrees are in psychology of perception. Perception. And so I did a lot of work in 3D
and all that.
So I'm into this stuff. I make fun of it because it never succeeds in the mass market.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the issue is the technology.
Yeah.
And getting it to a point where it makes more sense.
And affordable.
Yeah.
But I would love 3D.
Yeah.
Love. You know, my daughter is heading to Japan, and I was thinking, and I've been there, but I mean, she's going to places I'll never go. And so I was thinking, it'd be neat if she could wear a pair of 3D, you know, gyroscopic cameras and just shoot it back. And there's another boat coming in. I'm going to take a photo of it so you can see, like, Jared and I are discussing and listening to, and basically I'm just wasting time, but that's all right. I was really floored by that demo. At first I didn't expect you to bring them because I thought they were going to be like, you know, battery packs, all of that kind of fun stuff. And I was really shocked at how horrible they are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would say if you had like a special snow goggles or something,
yeah,
smaller than that.
It's smaller than safety goggles.
Yeah. So that's the Rokin Max with the diopter adjustment, which is just amazing. I just got to say. Now, the other thing he put in the notes, and I looked up, but I still don't exactly know what it is X-Reel B. Is that an accessory for the X-Reel Air and
so
add-on?
X-Reel came out with theirs, announced it, and it already is on pre-order. So I actually pre-ordered one.
Yeah.
And then Rokin has one that's coming out soon. They're all copying each other.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it's a breakout box. It's an Android device that's handling the position of the screen. And so you saw when you looked at it,
yes,
the screen's actually locked in position.
Yes.
So when you turn your head, it moves with you.
Right. Which I want, actually.
Right. Well, some people do. And I actually think it's fine. But the other way that you could do it is if you use their app or if you use this beam device, you can lock it in space and have it's 3 degrees of freedom of your head.
Oh.
So you can put your screen in front of you at your desk. And when you leave your desk, you can't see it until you get back to your desk and look at the same
position. Like a real screen.
Right.
And this is $109. And how does it add on to the...
So it just plugs into the USB-C.
Okay, so it's just
so you can daisy chain it if you wanted to.
Okay. So it's like an effects pedal for guitar.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
But it isn't quite as good as the app that they have that does three monitors floating in space. But I think the experience will be better because it's made specifically to do that. And so it either can do the floating display, it can lock it in position like this, but it'll have motion sensing so that it doesn't jitter when you shake your head.
Right, right, right.
Which is kind of nice. Or you could put it into four different quadrants of your vision. So you could put them on and walk around and have like a virtual space that you could put location or mapping or whatever. Because people had mentioned this when the Apple Vision Pro announcement came out, that they were seeing it like the new iPhone, that basically you wouldn't need a full name because you don't. Like if the device can answer your calls, can do all the stuff that you want it to do because it has the processing power to do it, then you don't need a... And most people, a lot of people don't use their mobile phones to even take calls anyway, right? For me, I actually use these headset devices and I make calls from my computer using Google Fi's. And so I don't even dial people from my phone anymore.
That's funny you see that because I got a call. I've got it's an estimate for repair that some contractors are coming over tomorrow. And my phone rang. I couldn't remember.
See?
I'm like, huh? Someone, what's escaping me on my voice?
I'll play it.
That's what happens when you retire. You forget stuff, you know? Anyway. Okay, so that's the... thanks for explaining that because I read it, and I don't get this beam thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you plug it in, or does it go on your glasses, or...
I think for a lot of people, even the people that they're marketing to, it's the same way where until someone actually gets a hand on it,
yeah,
it's hard to explain.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And I say that having just experienced it for the first time today. I'm so glad you brought it up. Let me try the roll kids. I can go, oh, oh, that's amazing. So what do you think of the Vision Pro? So it's $3,500. Are you tempted?
No. $3,500 is a little too high. I think if it was around 1,000, maybe.
Yeah.
Which is what Meta's Pro or whatever, or their Quest 3 is around that range. I think so. I think the Pro is around that range, and the Quest 3 is $500-$600.
Yeah, which is still way cheaper than.
Yeah, and I think, but they're subsidizing it. They're going to be eating some on that.
Yeah.
I really like the development of the software is something that these glasses cannot compete against, and their app development's really low bar. I think because they're based in China, it's difficult for them to come out with American apps that Americans expect.
Yeah.
But the Vision Pro's apps, or just the experience of it, the way that it does the fading in and fading out of people if they come into your vision plane, stuff like that is just, you can't compete against that. That's something Apple has.
On the other hand, it looks weird.
It does. The eye thing, I think, is weird.
Oh, yeah, the virtual eyes?
I get why they do it.
Yes, but I understand, too.
And the cool thing about that is that then by default, it creates a virtual avatar for you when you're on calls.
It's like electric cars that make engine noises.
Right. But even then, it's like, I don't know. It's still, you're looking at ski goggles.
Yeah. They're huge.
But the one thing that the Vision Pro has definitely that's going to win over these devices until they catch up is that it does hand tracking and eye tracking. And these devices don't have any camera. So the Vision Pro can capture, like you were saying about your daughter, it can capture those 3D videos if you wanted.
Yeah.
But the hand tracking I heard from the reviewers or read from the reviewers was that it's almost perfect, that even subtle motions of your hand get picked up. That's amazing.
I know. I suggested to my regular co-host, John Westfall, who's a college professor. I said, you know, I think you should apply for an NSF grant and buy a couple of these and send me one. I will be a test subject for whatever study you have.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a whole bunch of studies on how long people can use it, what people are using it for.
Yeah.
But yeah, it really is endless on what they can make it do. But I think it still doesn't cover that first hurdle of being unobtrusive. And that's why I think these guys
are more on. I mean, you know, you're looking at something different.
Yeah.
But no more so than look at somebody who has, say, exotic eyeglass.
Right.
Which I just want to note, you know, on a podcast that I recorded a week or two ago with Stephen Hughes, another friend of mine, who is an engineer at the Veterans Ministry. He said they're using a virtual reality system for like PTSD,
mm-hmm.
which was really weird. Basically, it's like exposure therapy.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow. That includes smell, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah. That includes smell, not just, you know, hearing, and not just two senses. It was three. And so that was wild. I thought I had not heard of that. And especially the smell component.
Yeah.
And the exposure therapy stuff I heard of, but not the smell.
Yeah. But that's why when you go off the deep end, when you're talking about like active feedback and haptics and stuff like that, that I don't think we're going to be touching for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks for talking about all this. So I really, really educated.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're actually going to buy a Vision.
the next item I'm going to buy is one of those waveguide devices.
Okay, and so what's that? What's that?
So like we were talking about Bird Bath, about how it shoots down.
Right.
So these waveguide devices, they take a camera image that's shooting from behind. So from the arm of the glasses.
Okay.
And the mirrors are actually in the lens. And so it bounces in the lens and bounces back towards your eye. So the front of it is completely clear, or can be completely
clear. Right, right,
right. And there's two manufacturers that are, I think InMo in China is releasing already. I think they already released demo.
Right.
And then TCL, you know the guys that make the TVs?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they have one that's coming out. What's interesting about those devices is batteries and processor are built in the arm. And so they're a little bigger than these, but everything's inclusive and completely clear LED.
So is this similar to like the Google Glasses in terms of pushing the...
No, I think... Yeah, I think Google Glasses was using a similar technology, but not built into the lens. It was built into that arm. These are actually binocular, and built into the lenses that are shooting at your eyes.
You know, it'd be really interesting. You know, you said that the lenses are in the arms. I assume they adjust for the fact that the arms are wider than the distance between your pupils.
Mm-hmm.
If they actually made it even wider so that the lenses were, you know, like two heads instead of one, you would get, and this is harkens back to my days as a grad student, you would get what's, you know, called super depth perception, which was actually used, like my dissertation chair, well, co-chair. One of the things that he was contracted by the Navy, they were looking at barnacle remover and chips, and they used cameras that were way far apart. So they had super depth perception for, you know, remote work. And they could, you know, try to remove the barnacles with like a robotic claw or whatever. But that would be really interesting to me.
Yeah.
You know, your depth perception actually improved.
So these have around a 50-degree field of view.
Yeah.
The Oculus Quest has around, I think it's 100. And I think the Apple is similar to that. 120, I think they sell it as. There's guys out there that are building it with four pancake lenses where they're actually on the sides as well.
Yeah.
So you get something like, I think it's 230-degree field of view.
Wow.
And from people that have reviewed it said that you can barely see the scene between the lenses.
Wow.
So to them, it's like literally the entire space is like anything that you can see even off on the side.
Right, right. Beyond your normal field of
vision. Yeah, that is amazing.
Basically like a prey animal.
Yeah. And so and they were demoing it already. So the manufacturer of it has a demo device that they're showing. And so that's going to be interesting to see what comes out of that.
That is pretty cool.
But yeah, because that's ultimately the idea, is that you want to actually be augmented, not just...
Right.
Right.
Beyond what you can actually do in real life.
Yeah.
That would be, you know, because we all want to be cyborgs, let's face it. Okay. Well, I think that's about it. Thank you so much, Jared. So this is Mobile News Podcast 464. And my special guest and guest co-host has been Jared Kuriva. Wow, we basically spent almost the whole thing. Oh, my Pixel 7 said it's too hot. So I'm going to stop right now and we're done.